Our scripture today comes from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, welcome, everyone. It is so good to see you today for online worship. If you have prayer requests, send them to us. If you have praise reports, let us know about that. We want to pray for you. Remember, you can follow along on my outline using the website or the Christchurch app. Glad that you've come to join us today. Last week, I talked about three big questions. Why do people need Jesus? Why do people need the church? And why do people need our church? If you missed it, if you ever miss a message, you can always find it on the website or YouTube. Today, I want to talk about expectations. Post expectations in the chat. And here's why I want to talk about that topic, because expectations are a part of life. Every day we're dealing with expectations, and they can be good and helpful, and they often are God-inspired. Let me explain. When I was in kindergarten, my first experience with school, I learned early on that it was helpful for me to know what was expected. I soon learned I was expected to listen to the teacher. I was expected to play nice. I was expected to lay still during nap time. And once I understood those things and tried to live up to those expectations, kindergarten was a breeze. In sports, I found out there were expectations too, and it was important for me to understand what the expectations were if I wanted a great sports experience. Number one, we're going to work hard, training, conditioning, getting in shape. Two, we're going to play smart. We're going to have plays, strategy, tactics. And three, we're going to play together as a team. No Lone Ranger stuff. We're a team. Understanding what was expected helped me to have a great time playing football, basketball, baseball. Understanding expectations in relationships are huge too. In my marriage, I've learned about expectations. It turns out I need to care for my wife, pay attention to her needs. It's not always about me. I need to listen, hear Kathy out, and not just jump into fix-it mode. That's big. And yes, I need to love, honor, and cherish her for as long as we both shall live. It's been helpful to understand what the expectations in our marriage are over these first 38 years. One more thing. It's helpful to understand the expectations in my relationship with God, too. The good news is that God has high hopes for a relationship with all of us. He's created us for it. He's made provision for it in sending His one and only Son, Jesus, to live and to die for us. But in the end, we all have to choose. We all make our own choices. But when we make that choice to enter into a loving relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus, God has some expectations for us too. I call them holy expectations. He has some high ideals for us so that we can have the best experience possible with Him. So what holy expectations does God have in our relationship with Him? Well, I would say this. God's expectation for us is spiritual growth. Post growth in the chat. That's God's great desire for us. Though He accepts us and adopts us as His own when we come to Him in faith, His hope is that we will grow in all aspects of our relationship with Him. Spiritual growth. The Apostle Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may do what? Grow up in your salvation. God wants us to grow up in our salvation, to grow up in our relationship with Him. God wants to see us mature in our discipleship. He wants to see us grow deeper in our awareness, in our love of Him. So how does that happen? Are there some steps that we need to take? What is our spiritual pathway? Many people coming to Christ Church today didn't grow up in church, or it was only sporadic. Others have been away for a while. People today want to know about the steps they can take. How do I grow as a disciple of Jesus? Do we have a clear-cut spiritual pathway we can point them to? A few years ago, we wrestled with that question here at Christ Church. We prayed about it, and we landed on three simple words. Three simple words that can help all of us remember our spiritual pathway and share it with others. The first word we use for this spiritual growth process is know. We come to know God. That's the first step in our journey. We can know about God for a long time. Lots of people know about God today, things they've heard or picked up along the way, but we really don't get to know God personally until we cross the line of faith, until we decide to put our own trust in Him. It's at that point of opening up our heart to God in faith that He comes with His Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, our spiritual wiring comes alive in a new and fresh way. The Bible calls it the new birth. And our journey of getting to really know God personally on the inside begins. I remember once an older gentleman coming to me and sharing that he had crossed the line of faith. He said, "I've always had doubts. I've been a bit of a skeptic, but two new friends at church have been talking with me and have helped me decide to cross the line of faith." And he talked about a whole new dimension opening up in his relationship with God. He was experiencing the new birth. In his day, the Apostle Paul would pray that people would come to know God better. In Ephesians 1:17, he said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may," what? "Know Him better." God wants you to know Him better. That's why God the Father sent His Son Jesus into the world. And that's why after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, God sent the Holy Spirit. All of this so that we might know Him better. I love our Upward basketball camp each summer. All of our camps, really. This year we taught about 25, 30 kids about basketball, but it's really about helping them to know God and to know His Son Jesus better, that He loves them. And guess what? They pick it up. When you know God loves you, when you really believe that in your heart right in here, that does something to you, which points to the second word on our spiritual pathway, love. First, we come to know God, to know Christ, as we grow in our knowledge, our love for God and others grows too. It happens by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Here's what Paul says in Romans 5:5. The love of God has been what? Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I just love that image. God's love being poured out all over. When God's love has been poured out in your heart, the more His Holy Spirit fills your life, overflows your heart, the more you feel compelled to love others. We grow in our love for God and others. We have more capacity to love than before. We've had church members involved in Operation Hope prison ministry, where they go into the prisons and help inmates stay connected with their family at home by helping them record bedtime stories for their kids. Isn't that cool? And what was it that compelled them to sit down with these inmates, spend a lot of time and energy doing it? It's that love of God that's been poured out in our hearts. Think of all the wonderful things God's love, working through believers, accomplishes throughout the world each day. It's amazing to ponder. And one day the world will fully understand all that Christ's love has accomplished. Remember Jesus' parable about the mustard seed? Though it is such a small seed, yet it grows into one of the largest garden plants. That's how God's love grows in us too. First we know, then love, and finally we serve. We learn to serve God and others because Christ has shown us how to serve as well. His disciples, like so many of us, were often concerned about prestige and power. Who's going to be the greatest among us? Who's going to sit at Jesus' right hand in the kingdom? Jesus had to set them straight. Hey, it is not to be like that among us. Whoever wants to become great among us must be a servant. And he went on to say in Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life that we might have an example to follow. He came not to be served, but to serve others with grace, mercy, and compassion. I remember some years ago now when the youth were challenged with a special question. What would you do if someone gave you $500 and said, do something good with it? Remember that? And several of our students wrestled with that question and then came up with the various ways to bless other people with $500. A generous contributor said, here's $500. Go do something to help someone else with it. Their creativity was amazing, and they experienced the joy of giving and serving others. So what is our spiritual growth pathway? Know, love, serve. That's how we describe it. Isn't that easy to remember? Think of those words regarding your own spiritual growth. We can always be improving, and that's what God wants. So God expects us to grow spiritually, and he has provided the local church, the body of Christ, as his primary means of helping us do it. God created the church for you. Do you know that? Here's what Paul said to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for what? For works of service, so that what? The body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow! God has got big plans for you and me in our church. We're to be prepared for works of service, built up in the faith, to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God's got big plans. He's got some holy expectations. I don't know about you, but I get fired up about God's vision for the church. I love what God is trying to do in the world through the church. The church, you know, sometimes gets a bad rap today because it's not perfect. I get that. The church is full of imperfect people who are trying to worship and serve a holy and perfect God. And so we fall short. And some people are quick to pounce on that. But I don't want to give up on the church. In fact, I'm convinced that the local church is still the greatest hope for addressing some of the world's biggest problems. Governments can only do so much. Social agencies can only do so much, even denominational affiliations. But it's God that can change a human heart. And God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, established the church to be His primary agency for changing hearts in the world. How do we begin to live up to God's holy expectations for the church? How do we begin to live into His expectations as individual members of His church? What are our discipleship expectations? Here at Christ Church, we talk about four simple expectations that help us grow in our discipleship. Real quick, first of all, worship. Worship is the way we connect with God. It's the way that we commune with Him. And there's something special about gathering together in worship that has always been recognized. In our text from Hebrews 10:25, the writer says, "Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we encourage you to be in worship as often as you can, unless you're sick or out of town. We have different services and the message on social media, the website, YouTube. We need a regular habit of worship to stay connected to God, to be abiding in Him. Secondly, small group. We expect our members to get connected with others in a small group, some form of a group where you can learn from each other, do life together, pray for one another. Acts 2:42 says about those earliest Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We should find a small group, a class, a step study, an accountability group to be connected with others in the body of Christ. Third, ministry. We all have ministry gifts, and God expects us to use them. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." What a great experience it is when we're using our God-given gifts to advance His kingdom. Some people teach, others organize, some lead, others help. I appreciate the many teams we have in the life of our church, our landscape team, our music teams, our men and women's ministry teams, our local mission outreach teams. If we don't have a team that you envision, grab two or three of your friends and let's start it. There are all kinds of ways to do ministry in God's kingdom. Fourth, generosity. God has blessed you and me to be a blessing. Jesus said in Luke 12:48, "To whom much is given, much is required." It's true, God expects us to be generous with our time, talent, and treasure. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous, willing to share." So we encourage you to be rich in good deeds and generous in giving. I encourage people to give proportionately of their income with the tithe, the tenth being the goal. We can never outgive God. Maybe we start small and then we grow in our giving. I was blessed recently when someone told me this. We started small and God blessed us, and so we increased it along the way, and now we're giving 10% and more, and it's a great joy in our lives. When we reflect His generosity, there is a joy and fruitfulness in our lives like no other. Well, God has great hopes and He has holy expectations for His church. He has great hopes and holy expectations for us, His people. And I hope you've caught the spirit of what I've been trying to say. Remember this, your growing discipleship in the church, the body of Christ, is a winning plan. That's how you are prepared for works of service, are built up in faith. That's how you become mature and in the end attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So let's lean more fully into God's holy expectations today. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious God, loving Lord, we thank You for this relationship that You offer us today. You love us and you want us to grow in our depth of understanding of your love and grace. You've helped us identify this spiritual pathway, know, love, serve. First, we come to know you. With your Holy Spirit forever reaching out to us, you woo us, pursue us, encourage us to cross the line of faith, to place our trust in you. And when we do it, we experience new birth, new life. And it's true, your love is poured out in our hearts. And the process of transformation begins, and our capacity to love expands. And we have growing love for you and others, and it shows. And so we find ways to give back. In gratitude, we serve others, and we put our faith into action. Know, love, serve. Thank you for this spiritual pathway. Help us to live more fully into it every day. And we're grateful for these four simple expectations that fuel our discipleship and keep it growing. Worship, small group, ministry, and generosity. Throughout the history of the church, we see how these simple expectations have kept people fired up in their faith. Lord, may your Spirit and power keep us fired up today as we live and carry your name forward in our generation. It's in Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send those to us. We want to hear from you. Thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts help us to reach new people for Jesus. You can go online to use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, through the church, we can learn to know, love, and serve Jesus and others. What a mission! Who do you know that needs a lifelong mission like that?
So, Lisa, I think my neighbor might be stalking me.
Stalking you?
Stalking me. I saw her Googling my name.
Wow.
Yeah, Googling me. I saw it clearly, crystal clearly, through my binoculars.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm embarrassed it took me so long to get there, if I'm honest. Have you heard about the men's journey groups? Starting Mondays in August, the group will meet every other week by Zoom for sharing, encouragement, and prayer. Sign up at the Connect Center or contact Scott Leeds or Pat Remmert for more information.
Our very own Brittany Mason will be sharing her life story and will also lead us in worship at the August 5th Women's Brunch. All ladies in the congregation are invited to attend and bring a friend. Sign up at the Connect Center or on our website.
Do you have questions about Christchurch? You're invited to join us for snacks and conversation on July 23rd at 2 p.m. at Discover CUMC. You can find answers to your questions, join the church, or learn about ways to become more connected. Sign up at the Connect Center.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
Hello, Christchurch. We are celebrating Christmas in July by collecting items for shoebox gifts to be sent to hurting children all over the globe. At the entrance to the sanctuary, you will find a tree with ornaments that reflect items that we will use to fill shoebox gifts later in the fall. Pull one or more ornaments from the tree, shop for the indicated items, and return items to the OCC box next to the tree. We've extended the deadline for bringing gift items to September 17th. We will then have a shoebox packing party at a later date, likely in October. Operation Christmas Child is a project of Samaritan's Purse that brings joy and hope of eternal life to children suffering from poverty, war, disease, natural disaster, and terrorism. Millions of people like us who prepare these gospel opportunities and pray are impacting millions of children and their families. Children who receive shoebox gifts have the opportunity to attend a 12-week class called The Greatest Journey, where they learn the Bible and have a chance to accept Jesus as their Savior. Children, families, and even towns and villages are changed by the impact of a simple shoebox gift, and we can be a part of this miracle. National Collection Week this year is November 13th through the 20th. CUMC's Shoebox Dedication will be Sunday, November 19th. As always, in addition to the Shoebox Packing Party, we welcome individuals and Sunday school classes to prepare their own shoeboxes leading up to Collection Week. Feel free to contact Sue Hayes or Mr. Phil with any questions about Operation Christmas Child. Merry Christmas!